Voices of the Elephant is proudly sponsored by SiteGround.com, a leader in website hosting and a terrific partner for all your website projects. Their top-notch technologies will make your websites fast and secure. Welcome to the Voices of the Elephant podcast. Each episode of Voices of the Elephant brings you an interview with a member of the PHP community. From project leaders to user group organizers, we talk to the people that are helping make the PHP community special. Hi, and welcome to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. My name is Cal Evans. I'm your host, and my special guest today is my friend Mario Pescheff. Say hi to everybody, Mario.
Hey, everyone. Good to be here.
Mario, you're a little bit different because while you are a programmer, your focus these days is entrepreneurship. And in Voices of the Elephant, every now and then I like to shake it up and have something different on. But before we get into all the other stuff, I'm going to ask you the same question I ask everybody the first time they're on Voices of the Elephant. What's your hero backstory? How did you get involved in PHP, or how did you get involved in programming and PHP? And I know you're a WordPress core developer, so give us the backstory.
Yeah, absolutely. So back when I was a kid, it was the early 90s. I had back when we bought our first computer at home, there was a kind of IT support guy that I really admired big time. He had a pretty interesting joke that I often retell on his behalf. He mentioned he was essentially building accounting software, and my mother was an accountant. So he was saying, I am the best developer among accountants and the best accountant among developers. So I really love this kind of hybrid approach to actually making it work in different areas of expertise and finding your genius zone, so to speak. And he was kind of my inspiration to get into software engineering, to enroll in computer science classes, technical college and all that jazz, which is kind of how I became a software engineer as well. In terms of PHP, I had kind of two different types of entry points. The first one was when I was running my first programming, hacking, software engineering forums, you know, back in the days, PHPBB and IPB and VBulletin. That's when I was trying to hack around the code base. It was trickier, but as most folks have actually started with, it was essentially PHP extensions and hacking around PHP themes for forums and things like that. And then I was kind of my first engineering employment was as a Java engineer. And I was working on an internal project at one of my companies, and it was running really slowly because it was, you know, Java, it's more verbose. It takes a while to build simple stuff. So I was kind of 6 months in. There was a new set of requirements, so I told my boss, look, it's going to take me a month, month and a half to actually rebuild everything to date and this set of requirements, which is going to take another 3 or 4 months. And they were really hesitant, but I said, trust me, it's going to work out. I had a Joomla developer in my office. He was really rooting for me. And yeah, in a month and a half, we actually rebuilt pretty much everything else from scratch with PHP, with Ajax, with the new set of requirements, which was really convincing for my boss. And that's kind of how it started. Then I quit my job. I decided to start with software engineering. And I figured out that as a full-time freelancer, it's a lot easier to actually make it work with PHP as compared to other more enterprise-grade languages that were, for the most part, looking for on-site people.
Very cool. Very good story. I appreciate you sharing that with us. I started out my journey in accounting software also. I actually tried game programming one time and realized that game programming is just way too much math, the higher math and everything. And I figured out that accounting is your basic plus and minus, add and subtract, that kind of thing. And it was much easier for me to grok. So yeah. I actually focused on that for the first 10 or 12 years of my programming career. So now it's time for you to be a game changer with the RingCentral Developers Game Changer Program. Grow your skills, help others in the community, and get rewarded with awesome prizes like RingCentral swag, conference tickets, software, iPads, computers, and so much more. Don't just be a developer, be a game changer and join the program today. For more information, visit developers.ringcentral.com. Now, these days, you talk a lot about recruitment and retention. Now, I talk a lot about managing developers, so recruitment and retention are very important. Talk to us a little bit about your thoughts about how companies should be recruiting developers and what they can do to keep those developers longer once they have them employed.
Yeah, that's a wonderful question. And we have refined our recruitment process over the years. Just as a backstory, my company is a team of 40 plus people, and more than half of them are developers or kind of technical QA people and things like that. So we are investing quite a lot in finding and persuading talent to start with us and retaining them for as long as possible. So one of the most important things we're looking for is really the passion to learn new stuff. Because when conducting thousands and thousands and thousands of interviews, we have identified that people who are really stuck with the skills they know of and aren't really interested in following podcasts and their favorite bloggers and folks on Twitter who are really hacking around and kind of attending community events and so forth, those are most of those people are really learning slower as compared to their counterparts who are really excited about learning and new skills and new frameworks and all that new stuff that's coming up. And now that's not to be confused with let's learn a new JavaScript framework every single week, because come on, that's going to be extremely tedious. But you get the point. It's simply people who are passionate about learning, developing their skills and growing together and just being in a smaller community of other people who are just as passionate about their work. So this is kind of one of our first rules about recruitment. And then towards your management point that you mentioned, one thing we've identified is that it's extremely important to treat every individual as a specific person with their unique traits. And this is something that larger corporations, for the most part, are having a harder time with, because they have established those processes and they have their those business process management softwares and their kind of senior management dealing with a very refined set of steps for every single person. Since we're a smaller team, what we're trying to do is identify...
Mario?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, I lost you there for a minute. You're trying to identify...
Yeah, the unique traits of the people we are working with and convert these traits into specific roles that may be beneficial both to the company and to themselves, things that they are passionate about. For example, we may turn some people into kind of half-time technical writers. They may contribute to open source documentation or open source software, just documenting it properly, or writing technical guides and blog posts and things like that, or technical trainers, just folks who are more prominent at presentations and meetups and PHP conferences, or technical salespeople, people who are working alongside with the technical folks. We have even kind of created a unique role on our own, which we call a project owner. And this is a mix of a team lead and a technical project manager and a kind of a product owner on our end. And we believe that this is one of the unique traits that helps us retain talent for a longer period of time, especially for folks who don't want to go the traditional route of being engineers or becoming, say, software architects or becoming technical project managers or anything like that. We try to build some more diversity to retain people and help them take longer, develop a broader set of traits on the job.
So what I'm hearing is one of the things that you've discovered is you can retain developers longer if you have various paths that they can take in your company. They're not siloed in, I have to only be a developer and I can go this high and then that's it.
Precisely. I believe that the development landscape has evolved enough. And on the bright side, there are plenty of traditional jobs that really lack technical skills. Again, sales, and project management, and writing, and speaking, and a bunch of other different jobs that combined with tech skills create an extremely powerful individual or a set of individuals who can be more efficient, who can be greater leaders, who can contribute more to the bottom line. And the lack of similar opportunities on the job, at least in more traditional corporate jobs, is probably the sole reason why most people are turning to freelancing or finding their own companies or just finding other paths like joining startups where smaller teams let them work multiple jobs and wearing multiple hats at the same time.
Fascinating. Hey, let's take a real quick left turn here. I did not prepare you for this question, but this is something that I love to ask entrepreneurs, especially developers that have started out and started doing freelance. How do you find your first customer?
I posted on Facebook at the time, leaving my job. Well, maybe not Facebook. I don't remember what was that. No, actually.
On social media. Okay.
Yeah, on social media. Yeah. But yeah, I bragged about on social media that I kind of left my job, turned to a full-time freelancer. And I actually found two customers at the same time, just friends who were working. One of them was a Flash developer working with some folks building websites, and he wasn't really into website building. And one of them was just a family friend who had another friend, you know how it goes, who also needed a website. So that's kind of how I found both. And I believe it's really important whenever you're turning to freelance, especially full-time freelance and not just doing something on the side, it's really important to tap into your own network and say, hey guys, I'm now available. And like, please lend a hand and help me just start building my portfolio.
That is phenomenal advice. Thank you so much. And I'm going to add on to that. The great, I believe he's still with us, the great salesman, Harvey McKay, said, never dig your well when you're thirsty. Don't wait until you have quit your job and hung out your shingle to start building your network. Start building that network now so that when you're ready to do that, you've got people you can send that to. So
absolutely. Absolutely.
That's phenomenal. You know, you've got a book, and I've got it bookmarked on Amazon. It's one of the books I want to read, but right now I've got about six that I've got bookmarked, but it's on my list. 126 Steps to Becoming a Successful Entrepreneur. Now, we'll throw a link to the book in the show notes, but tell us a little bit about the book.
So in terms of the book content, one thing I really wanted to do is write a book that's not about all the successful unicorn startups and getting a $10 million or $50 million, $100 million in funding, but a book about the first year or the first 2 years. All the grind that goes into actually starting a business and saying, okay, I'm done. I'm quitting my job. I'm going to be on my own. And now what, right? Because again, almost everything that I've read, it's about strategies, it's about patterns and so forth. And of course, I've uncovered a bunch of those, but this is primarily after the first 30 or 40 pages. But I'm saying how hard it actually is, that it's not really for everyone, for all the risks, for kind of all the grinding, 80, 100 hours a week, continuously for months, for years without vacations, and everything else that really happens when you become an entrepreneur on your own. And in terms of actually producing the book, and the reason why it's more structured in terms of questions, is what I did is a couple of years ago, I started writing a lot more on Quora and helping beginner developers, beginner freelancers, entrepreneurs, other bunches of people. And it turned out that I had hundreds of answers on relevant questions. So I said, okay, let's make it work. Let's figure out, let's just group all those questions into specific categories and make it a book.
That is a phenomenal idea. I love the concept behind it because so many of us read Tim Ferriss's The 4-Hour Workweek and think, oh, hey, I can do it. But if you actually read The 4-Hour Workweek, for several years, he put in 100-hour work weeks to build his company. And once he got it going, he could go back to doing, or he could go to doing a 4-hour work week. He didn't start there. And that's the secret that I think a lot of people miss in that book. So I'm glad you've done this. Hey, Mario, I want to thank you for being here with us today on Voices of the Elephant. I found this fascinating. I hope one day that you and I will get to meet face-to-face. But until then, we'll still see you on Twitter every day. And audience, thank you for tuning in to another episode of Voices of the Elephant. And we hope to see you next week right here again. Thanks for listening to Voices of the Elephant. Voices of the Elephant is copyright EICC Incorporated and released under a Creative Commons Attribution, No Derivatives, Share and Share Alike license. To nominate someone to be a guest on Voices of the Elephant, visit our website and click on the nominate link. The URL is voicesoftheelephant.com. Elephant is, of course, spelled ELEPHPANT.